Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour, the morning edition. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and today we're doing something a little different and something going on in the future that we want to keep doing here, talking a little bit about the cotton industry. Today I have with me the CEO of the Plains Cotton Growers, Mr. Cody Besant. How are you doing today, Cody?
I'm doing great this morning. It's a little cool and had some recent rainfall conditions throughout a portion of the region, but doing pretty well.
I'm liking this little tidbit of the fall weather. I love it when it gets a little cooler, and that's when harvest season kicks off for cotton growers throughout the High Plains and in the South Plains. Cody, how are things looking so far? Kind of pre-harvest, we're about to get kicked off, and kind of how did the crops turn out so far?
Well, as many are aware, the cropping conditions throughout this season have been pretty catastrophic. Now, we do have some production that does remain on the Panhandle and High Plains, but unfortunately, this year it's going to be a pretty bleak production year. We have had several folks begin harvest all the way from the upper Panhandle all the way down through a portion of the southern High Plains, just depending on how that crop was set up to come off the stock. There are some pocketed areas that are doing, relatively well. We know kind of over on the northwestern portion of our 42-county region that their production is going to be relatively average or about par. But as you move throughout other portions of the area from basically Plainview south, that it is a pretty bleak type atmosphere when it comes to the amount of production we're going to see this year. A lot of folks have used 2011 as kind of a benchmark year on what we produce just because of the growing conditions that came across throughout the planting and harvesting season. This year, I think, will be even a little bit less than what we saw in 2011, not just in our region, but across the whole state. It's been pretty tough just to kind of backing up a little bit and kind of walking through a timeline. But, we started off this planting season with very little, if any, subsoil moisture as compared to at least in 2011. We did have at least a little bit of profile to be able to start off the season, and unfortunately this year we didn't. As we kind of progressed on into the remaining of the planting and development season, we saw one of the hottest seasons we've had on record in July, and just really a lot of acres early on that were taken out or abandoned for spotty or skippy or no stands at all. And then now we've gotten in through the remaining portion of the growing season. We did have some other acres that are being abandoned at this point whenever they look at production account. And so that's really taken a toll on this year's volume that we typically would see in this area. The implications of that are pretty dire across the board, not just from the producer segment that we have the privilege of serving, but when you look even beyond that farm gate through the ginning segment or warehousers and others, but due to a lack of volume, that's certainly going to have a big toll on those industry segments and the economy as a whole. And so it's been a tough year, but for those that do have some cotton coming off, hopefully they'll be able to capture or have been able to capture some of the pricing conditions that we saw early on. We've seen some of that tailor off going into this end of the harvest season. And then hopefully as we continue throughout the rest of the winter months and going on into next year for 2023, we'll receive more adequate rainfall conditions or maybe some snowpack. That'll allow some people some time to really kind of set up and get ready for next year. Some have already. Some are looking at planting cover crops if they haven't already, just to try to provide some establishment to keep the soil from erosion over time throughout the rest of the winter months, and then being able to hopefully store some of the subsoil moisture that we'll get through rainfall conditions going into the new season.
Well, a huge topic of discussion this year has been basically two words, drought and input cost. And both of them have played a major role, especially here in the Panhandle and the High Plains. Have, producers kind of, started turning towards different avenues of, planting something different this year? Or maybe they just said, cotton is not it this year. Maybe I should dive off into something else. Or, the dry land this year struggled a lot. I went back home not too long ago and saw a lot of the dry land. A lot of it was in rough shape, even some of my family land. So kind of are you seeing a little bit more people maybe thinking about something different for the next year?
Yeah, there are certainly being some considerations of that. It's a little bit premature to start, you know, really jumping off into planting intentions. A lot of that shift will really be focused come after the first of the year, and depending on what commodity prices continue to do, you know, cotton specifically, we've seen it really dovetail off very aggressively the last couple of months. And unfortunately now, even looking at the next year's futures, the December 2023 futures, relatively where it's been trading, it's pretty well below where cost of production as compared to you get into other grain crops where you've got higher wheat prices, higher corn prices. You know, that will certainly take into effect on a substitution of a crop moving forward into a new year. You know, right now, a lot of folks are being asked to consider and looking at least securing of input costs or inputs for next year, be it fertilizer or fuel, just to try to take advantage of a percentage or rebates if they can get it ordered and secured early, and that way they can store it till they get ready to use it. But from an overall planning intention standpoint, a lot of that will be determined based on where prices are relatively at going into the new year, where risk management programs are being based at, in order to have a guarantee for refinancing when folks start looking at refinancing in the new year. But certainly people are considering it, and it will be a thought process that we'll continue to look at and monitor as we start a 2023 crop year.
Well, another huge topic of discussion, and we've talked with, you know, other commodity groups like Texas wheat and Texas corn about it, of the farm bill. We have got, you know, this next stage of we've got to reauthorize a farm bill coming up next year. And of course, we're in recess right now to the midterms. But kind of what is Plains cotton growers really advocating for or kind of wanting a change or maybe more of coming out of this farm bill and kind of that support?
Sure. Well, to kind of give listeners a little bit of a precursor leading into the farm bill. So even though Congress is in recess until after the midterms, we are still actively advocating for an extension of the current emergency relief program, ERP, for the 2022 crop year. And I believe there will be some opportunity going into the end of the year in December in a larger omnibus type spending package to be able to try to secure enough funding mechanisms to be able to do that. You know, certainly there'll be a lot of challenges and changes after we get to the midterm elections. We'll have to see how that shapes up and strategize a little bit more about advocacy efforts for the end of the year. That is something that we're trying to work on, along with other groups that you mentioned, before the end of the year. Now, pivoting kind of forward, looking at 2023, and certainly the farm bill discussions are starting to heat up, are on the forefront of most people's mind. Now, one thing collectively we're all relatively trying to encourage Congress to do and make the case for is in order to make sufficient changes to a new farm bill and to make improvements to it, you've got to have enough funding resources to do that, whereas today, based on where we're at with the baseline projection estimates, it will be very difficult. We're collectively trying to encourage Congress through the budget committees on both sides that have that key decision-making authority to incorporate all of the ad hoc spending in recognition of those dollars that have went out to help the agricultural sector over the last 4 to 5 years and interject that essentially into the baseline so there's adequate enough money for the development and enhancement of a 2023 farm bill. So that's one of the initial steps that collectively pretty much everybody is gearing towards. You know, from an overall policy initiative standpoint, a lot of groups, including ours and other nationwide groups, are still sort of hammering out what we need to devise based on the funding mechanism, whether that's improvements to, you know, the improvements of a reference price, potentially trying to incorporate permanent disaster aid into a new farm bill if that can be done, trying to look at ways to address where it's been insufficient. Input cost is another focus that a lot of groups are really looking to try to address. And then there's a lot of focus internally inside the belt in D.C. of how to mitigate some of the challenges we've seen the last couple of years from supply chain issues, again, to a rising form of input costs that have really diminished the current projected levels of where we're at on the farm bill. All that being said, once we get into a new Congress, a lot of that will shift gears a little bit. I do think on the House side of things, they will continue to have field hearings to gain more input, because certainly what issues and policy initiatives that that we essentially look at from a southern base perspective below the Mason-Dixon line doesn't always necessarily reflect what they need up in the upper Midwest. And so trying to figure out how to redevise policy to complement the two and have a strong farm bill moving forward and try to meet the applicable timeline before the current bill expires.
Well, of course, you know, the USDA and the national aspects of policy are highly important, as well as, you know, looking at towards the state level. We've talked a little bit with, you know, Mr. David Gibson with Texas Corn, a little bit of kind of what he wants a little bit more of out of the state wise, and kind of what is Plains cotton growers once, you know, state legislation kicks off in January. What are kind of some of the things that y'all are kind of maybe pushing for, whether it comes down to water, a little bit more help with the supply chain, transportation aspects? Kind of what do y'all want to see a little bit more out of the Texas legislation?
You know, typically out of the Texas legislature, we're usually a little bit more on defense versus offense. So you mentioned, you know, water is a priority-based issue. Certainly that's a very hot topic amongst most state sessions. You know, our biggest objective and advocacy on that point is to maintain the control of the resource at a local level through through locally elected officials on groundwater conservation districts and make sure that everything adheres to the protection of private property rights, something we're very, very sincere and very open about. You know, one thing we've advocated for the last couple of sessions, and we will start to explore if it's necessary or needed to extend the funding mechanism for a bill that was enacted that we worked on last session relating to the development of an early plant pest and disease detection program in the state. The reason we looked at that is there are different types of plant pest and disease that each industry segment looks at. One thing we've been focused on is a Fusarium wilt race, FOV4, that has been detected down in the El Paso region and through there, and it's very susceptible in extra long staple or Pima varieties, even though research continues to get better, development of better seed varieties and traits continues to be enhanced, and so we can develop some resistance to that type of that seedling-borne disease. We don't know yet, at least overall, if it's susceptible into upland cotton, one thing we're very focused on. So trying to essentially enhance our efforts to contain where that that disease is at today, but also develop or at least make sure our current varieties and newly developed traits and varieties for upland aren't susceptible to it, which could in turn have a negative impact on production yield and loss potentially. We did secure some fundings last session. We're finishing up some project reviews toward the end of this year. Once we do that and kind of see where the lay of the land is, if we need some additional funding, we potentially could ask the State House for that. But at this point in time, we're still assessing where we're at. Other than that, we'll just kind of see where legislation is being filed and what it looks like. Again, as I mentioned, we're kind of more of a defensive-based advocacy organization, our State House, versus the offensive and making a lot of asks. Typically, most of our offensive type of ask comes from the federal corridor and through federal legislation, like the Farm Bill, like the recent ad hoc policies we've had the privilege of working on with other organizations to date.
Well, another huge topic of discussion this year has been trade. We've had a lot of issues getting things to places. You know, the war in Ukraine kind of put a strain on the wheat industry and some of the grain industries as well, getting things in and out. And, you know, we're coming up on this harvest season. We've got a lot of things that we supply to other countries as well. Kind of how's cotton planning out and looking so far to kind of the export markets in that aspect and the supply, even within the United States? Kind of how are things looking on that aspect?
Well, early on in the season, I'd have told you it was very robust. There was a lot of demand for U.S.-derived and cotton in general. Unfortunately, that has kind of tailored off going into this harvest season. You've seen Pakistan still step up into the market and buy some. We've seen Turkey source some cotton as of late. But ultimately, a lot of our buyers overseas are sort of just sitting on the sideline right now waiting to see where this pricing mechanism goes and how either low it will go, if it will finally bottom out and then come back into the marketplace. So that's one thing we're very mindful of and trying to just watch and navigate as we move into the end of the season. Now, from a logistics standpoint, as you mentioned, on transportation logistical issues, we are still seeing quite a bit of that. going forward. You know, you're still having an issue with the port system, like in LA Long Beach, still being backed up, and that causes a flow and a chain of backwards events on moving cotton from our area, from the warehousing position, all the way over to the Port Authority so they can get them on boats and ship them overseas. You know, hopefully that will start to lessen and become less backed up as we get into the end of the season, where we typically move cotton a lot more readily once it's sourced. But it still is very much a challenge for all the industry segments. Same for other challenges that kind of curtail and come into that. You've got challenges on a lack of workforce. And that kind of backs some of the logistical issues of moving cotton, whether that's physically going and getting it from a field, having enough module trucks and people running trucks to go do that, and all the way from having enough logistical people to physically put cotton on trucks to ship them over to either Dallas or down to the port down south, and then physically rail it to a point of exit going over to overseas markets. It's not something that's going to be resolved overnight by any means, but it's very impactful to the industry segment, especially as we start finishing up the harvest season and going into next year, needing to move bales very quickly.
Well, to kind of switch gears, and we've talked a little bit about here at KGNC, is research and development is a huge aspect of all crops, whether it's creating new seeds, breeding them out, figuring out, you know, what pests or kind of what we should use to kind of mitigate that. But a new thing has opened up down there in Lubbock, I know, for maybe classifying cotton with the USDA, kind of on Texas Tech's campus. Can you go into a little depth to talk about what that's going to mean for cotton producers up here and kind of what that's going to do?
You bet. So, yeah, there is a brand new state-of-the-art cotton classing facility that was just opened in August-September timeframe. It's been a long time coming. It's been in the works to being completed and developed and implemented and opened for, you know, relatively 10 to 15 years. It's been a long process to get to this point. The goal with the new classing office will be very helpful to producers and gins and merchants alike. Because of the new facility, all the technology is completely new. There's a lot more automation. And so, again, when we run into challenges with labor or the inability to get source parts, with the new system like there is today with automation, it makes that classing process run a little bit more smoothly, being able to class cotton a little bit more timely. And then producers, as well as others that sell and trade cotton, the ability to receive grades in a lot more timely manner, so they can take advantage of pricing opportunities. You know, prior to this season, we've had several years of challenges where there's been a backlog of classing that's caused a delay in producers receiving grades, which they physically have to have a grade in order to receive an active price for their bale on a per bale basis. And so hopefully with this new automation and this new system in place, that'll be able to speed things up, keep it on time, and be able for classes to be returned in a more readily manner so pricing opportunities aren't missed moving forward. There's also some federal legislation that's being looked on toward the end of the year spending package in regard to some of this as well. There's right now in the House, there's a little over $4 million that's been set aside for improvements to the cotton classing labs and facilities across the U.S. Hopefully this will be implemented with the end of the year spending package, but we'll have to continue to keep advocating for that. But that would allow for other facilities like in La Mesa or Abilene or Corpus area in Texas to be able to have upgrades to those facilities so more improvements can be made on all locations versus just the one we're looking at today in Lubbock.
Well, Cody, if anybody has any questions or needs to get a hold of Plains Cotton Growers, how can they do so?
They can certainly always visit us at our website at plainscotton.org, or always feel free to give us a call at 806-792-4904.
Well, Cody, thank you so much for coming out, talking a little bit about the harvest season, getting a little ready for that, a little bit of crop conditions and policies, and thank you so much for coming out and kind of giving us that information on the cotton industry.
You bet. It's always a pleasure to get to visit with you all. And again, if anybody ever has any questions, feel free to reach out. And I do wish everybody a very safe and fruitful harvest.